every episode of this podcast is about true things that have happened at some point or another on this planet. Each episode is different than the next, and they are each centered around stories that are odd, outlandish, or of the occult. This podcast will include foul language. This podcast may also include themes of graphic content such as murder, rape, or gore. Listener's discretion is advised.
Hi, circles, sevens, I don't know, what should we call our fans? Sexy bastards? Yeah, you're all sexy bastards. Anywho, I'm Dan, and this is Autumn. Say hi to the sexy bastards, Autumn.
Hello.
So, I need to start us off this week by apologising to Autumn for wiping my toe jam on her lips during our last episode. And for anybody who was traumatised by this, not least of all her, it was gross, it was wrong, and I both deserved and thoroughly enjoyed the resulting beating. Sorry, my love. I'm a bad boy. I thought you were a jam dog, but I forgot you're just a cheese hound.
Fuck my life. Okay, this episode is about one Anders Breivik. Anders was born on February 13th, 1979. It was a Tuesday. Autumn was born on a Tuesday as well, just a few years after. What day were you born on, Dan?
It was a Monday, just. I finally went at about 20 minutes past midnight. I also had the hiccups for 24 hours after being born. Annoying from the get-go.
I love that story because it's definitely on brand for you, Daniel. Do you know the nursery rhyme?
I know a nursery rhyme. I even know nursery rhymes. I'm unsure if I know the nursery rhyme.
Monday's child is fair of face.
So true.
Tuesday's child is full of grace. Yeah. Quite the opposite here. Wednesday's child is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child works hard for a living, and the child that is born on the Sabbath day is bonny and blithe and good and gay.
Stop hating yourself! Stop hating yourself! Also, it's blithe. It's a soft th.
Oh, yeah. English, my first language.
Can you tell?
So this poem is dumb and untrue. I was born with zero grace in my bones, but whatever.
Monday seems accurate, though.
Anyways, Anders' mom tried to abort him when he was a fetus. She was past the 3-month threshold that allowed abortions in Norway at the time. She said that as a baby, he was a fundamentally nasty and evil child and determined to destroy her.
I mean, that's easy to say after he did all the things we're about to tell you about, isn't it? If he'd brought about world peace and ended all famine, I suspect the two-faced bitch would have been all like, oh yeah, he was a wonderful child.
Yeah. And she stopped breastfeeding him because he was sucking the life out of her.
Maybe he knew she had tried to abort him. Not that we have a problem with that here at Seven Circles. We're all for it. In fact, most people suck. We should just abort them all.
Yeah.
Which, oddly enough, is kind of where this whole thing is going.
Oh. Her hate for him never stopped. She would frequently beat him and tell him that she hated him and wished he was dead. He was placed into foster care by the time he was 4.
Wow.
That's good. Maybe this kid could recover in a loving and stable home.
But, under the supervision of psychologists, they observed the following behavior. He never expressed joy. Aw. He was just an ickle goth, an ickle Norwegian goth child. He never cried when he was hurt. He made no attempt to engage with other children. He was extremely clean and OCD about his toys. Good, sticky little cunts. The shrinks assumed that his mother had punished him so much for being emotional that he stopped feeling emotions at all. She beat him when he was dirty, so he kept himself clean. For a 4-year-old, that's almost unheard of. I mean, I'm all for it if it can be achieved without the beatings. With the snot and the shit and the filth. I fucking hate them, Autumn.
What, kids?
Yeah, they're gross. Eventually, the mother regained custody of Anders and he grew up in Oslo. As a teen, he was a graffiti artist. Now, I just want to say I didn't write this part, and running around tagging shit does not make you a graffiti artist. It makes you a vandal. And lo and behold, he was arrested a few times for vandalism. When he got a bit older, he started using steroids on the regular and began to weight train. He spent a lot of time in front of a mirror, just staring at the rapid progression into alpha male, in big air quotes, that his body was going through. You gotta be tough so your victims can't take you down, Autumn.
True story.
So, when Anders was 23, he formed a computer programming business. In his manifesto that would later come into public eye, he claims that this company grew to have 6 employees and several offshore bank accounts. And it was this money, he says, that he used to finance the attack that he was planning.
An attack?
Oh, yes, an attack.
Ooh, foreboding.
Yes. In 2009, he formed a farming company under the name Brevik Geofarm, described as a sole proprietorship, set up to cultivate various vegetables.
In fact, he tells the locals he will be producing sugar and beets. Rather uninterestingly. You're welcome. I saw that and I included it.
Thanks.
For no apparent reason. You probably left it out for good reason, because it was just entirely
sugar
tedious.
Sugar and beets. Sugar and beets.
Sugar and beets.
A year later, he began to purchase guns. He bought a 9mm semi-automatic Glock 34 pistol.
Basic.
And he bought a Ruger Mini 14 rifle.
So, in Norway, clips for hunting rifles that hold more than 3 rounds are illegal. And let's be honest, you can't murder whole crowds of people with 3 rounds at a time. So guess where he bought his clips from, Autumn? Go on, guess. Guess. Take a guess, Autumn. Go on. Bet you can't guess. You'll never get it.
America!
Bingo! The retardation is far-reaching, Autumn.
He used his farming company to obtain large amounts of fertilizer that he required to build his explosives. What amount of fertilizer is a large amount, you ask? 6 tons.
I mean, if he's running a farm, I feel like he could have got away with ordering more and making a bigger boom boom.
True story. On July 22nd, 2011, Brevik detonated a fertilizer bomb outside the tower block housing the office of Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg in Oslo, resulting in 8 deaths.
Needed more fertilizer, clearly, but that chap's also sometimes known as Jens Stoltenberg. But Jens Stoltenberg is also acceptable, I suppose.
Okay. I'm not good at different languages.
Okay. A J in those countries would be a yeah.
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 Jens.
Yeah. Yes. And there's also a T in that last name. But it's cool. You nailed it. You nailed it.
It was 3:30 p.m. on Friday. I imagine a lot of government employees were excited to wrap up that day and go home.
Unlucky.
The car bomb took out the front of the building it was parked next to. The whole building caught fire and spewed wood and glass and metal into the street.
But mainly wood. This was Scandinavia, after all.
The force of the blast shattered windows of buildings and cars as far as 3 blocks down the street. 8 people died and many were wounded. Anders then got changed into a police uniform and boarded a ferry that was headed to an island called Utøya. On this island, there was a yearly youth camp going on. The youth camp was a camp run by the Norwegian Labour Party. This is a social democratic political party. Anders did not like them or their ideals. So, he dressed like a cop and slaughtered the camp. There were a lot of teenagers at this camp, you know, because it was a youth camp and all. He just waltzed into camp and said, "Hey, I'm a cop," and then just started shooting everyone. And this is a small-ass island.
Yep, just 26 acres. You could fit it in your mum with room for an extra couple of fingers.
Ha ha! There is nowhere to run unless you have quick access to a boat. This island was like the size of Morla, the ancient one's tortoise shell.
Sorry, what?
Morla, the ancient one.
Is that a never-ending story thing?
You got it.
Huh. It's the only big tortoise I could think of.
Get it?
Yeah. That was a good bit of the movie, though. Fucking loved it when that horse died, man. Fucking rad.
Ah.
Whiny little bitch.
No. You suck.
One of the survivors said, "The birdie birdie bushy boo."
Nope.
No, I kid. One of the survivors said, "The gunman was dressed as a policeman. He tried to show us that he was here to help. Tried to lure us, said, 'Come here.' People started jumping out the windows and ran everywhere in all directions. Most ran towards the water. They tried to hide." And a lot of these kids just started swimming out into the ocean. There's helicopter video footage of them trying to get away. One kid swam out but realised that the shore of the mainland was too far. So he swam back to the beach and lay motionless in the sand, praying that the shooter would think he was dead. He lay there with his eyes open, not moving, not daring to breathe, playing a staring contest all on his own. He watched Anders shoot two of his... We shouldn't laugh, man. Kids are getting shot here.
You made the joke.
He watched Anders shoot two of his friends as he lay there playing dead. One of his friends collapsed dead right onto his legs. He could hear his friend take his last breaths, but could do nothing to save him for fear of being shot himself.
That's fucking sad.
Yeah. He won the staring contest, though, so that's good. Some kids tried to hide in their tents, which are commonly known to be bulletproof, after all.
Yeah.
Anders picked every tent that was zipped up, walked up to the tents, unzipped them, and opened fire. I feel like he could have made this process more efficient, don't you? Like, just why unzip? Just shoot.
Just shoot through it.
I guess you don't want to waste bullets, right? Just in case there aren't any kids in there.
I mean, yeah, also, like, it's for effect. Like, yeah, I know you're in there. Unzip. You see my face? Now you're dead.
Yeah, that's a little bit sick, Autumn.
I didn't do that. This is Anders.
Yeah, but you thought of it.
I mean, it's just a theory. It's not exactly what I...
Yeah, but it's a theory that you thought of.
Okay.
We're all just like, why not just shoot through the tent? It makes more sense. And you're like, no, you must instill fear. They must see the whites of my eyes as I murder them.
He ended up murdering 69 people on that island. He murdered a total of 77 people in one day. And that's a big number for just one man.
Wait. I read he killed 68 people on the island. Did he change it to 69 just so I'd say something?
No, I read 69.
Oh, well, giggity.
And the reason why he was able to kill so many was this. The Norwegian police did not have helicopters suitable for transporting groups of police for an airdrop.
No, just cameras. You know, for the badass footage of the kids swimming out and drowning.
Local police could not find a suitable boat to transport them to the island either. They were ordered to observe and report. AUF's own ferry, the 50-passenger MS Thorbjørn.
That was pretty close. Thorbjørn.
Thorbjørn was used by Brevik to go to Utøya. Shortly after the first shot was fired, 9 people left the island on the ferry. Among them, the AUF leader, Eskil Pedersen.
What a fucking pussy.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up, dude. Like, the leader of the, like, little camp. Like, I'm just gonna fuck off. Fuck these kids.
Exactly. What a douchemonger.
Definitely not the hero of the day. They said they feared there might be more terrorists in the area and navigated the ferry 2.7 kilometers to the north. Hence, the ferry was not available to the police when they arrived at Utøya, the ferry landing on the mainland. The police, therefore, had to use their own rigid-hulled inflatable boat. But the boat was in a different town and had to be transported to where the cops were on the mainland. And there were some issues with the inflatable boat, and a civilian couple who owned their own boat said, "Get the fuck in! Let's go fight this bad guy!" And they took the cops over to the island. So go ahead and pick all that apart, because what the fuck?
Well, think about it. It's pretty remote up there, man. Norway is all fjords and mountains. So think about it. It's kind of like when you need a gynecologist in Idaho so that you don't die, but there's only one serving a 50,000 square mile radius, so you have to wait a few months. It's like that. Only in this case, The cunt doctors are just cunts.
Whoa.
Cops. It should really be noted, though, probably way sooner than now, that Anders didn't just set off the bomb at the Prime Minister's office for the fuck of it, or even to get the Prime Minister. No, it was a diversion, a decoy, a deke. He knew all the emergency folks would be over there, leaving him free to do what he needed to do on the island.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's very much like the Uwe Boll movie Rampage, which, if you sexy bastards haven't seen, you should, along with its two sequels. In it, without giving the main plot and twist away, a dude spends a while ordering Kevlar plating via his friend, makes a bulletproof suit, remote controls an explosive-laden van into the cop station, and then goes and murders fucking everyone. It's all pretty American, but he's not just a total nutjob, so it's kind of okay. Or is he? So, imagine Ned Kelly from episode 20 and Anders Breivik made a little snoo-snoo and miraculously popped out a love child. Yeah, Rampage. It's rad. Never have you seen people faceplant so hard when running away from a gunman and getting shot in the back. 10 out of 10 recommended by 7 Circles.
So Anders was eventually arrested. And most douchebags like this off themselves before the cops can get them. But not this guy.
Fuck no. This dude has a message.
Oh, and the cops also arrested a 17-year-old kid because they thought he was an accomplice. They stripped him naked and threw him into a cell a few doors down from Anders. He was kept in custody for 17 hours. Do you know why they thought he was an accomplice? Because he was not crying and hysterical like all the other kids were.
Well, yeah, they were dead on him.
Well, not all the other
kids. Oh.
But, yeah, just people process trauma in different ways, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, true. But how did this kid handle it, Autumn? In the same way, the shrinks observed Anders to process it when he was a kid. So this kiddo might not have done anything yet, but watch this fucking space.
Oh, shit.
He was just watching it like, oh, yeah, this is fucking rad. And then he got locked in a cell for 17 hours, fucking sitting there jacking it, thinking about all the fucking dead kids.
He did not jack it for 17 hours.
Well, no, it gets sore after 3. But, I mean, you know, it's... You never know. But, yeah, he probably didn't. Let's not speak ill of this poor, traumatised child. What was his name? Sven, right? Sven from... No? Okay.
So Anders was arrested and held at Ila Prison. While there, he had 3 personal prison cells to himself. One cell was for sleeping and watching DVDs and TV. A second cell was set up and he had access to a computer, albeit with no internet, but they gave him a whole ass office cell. And his third cell was for his gym equipment. They do things differently in the Norwegian penitentiaries, I guess.
Some high-profile inmates get treated better so that the potential press coverage doesn't expose how badly inmates are typically treated. We see that a lot over here with serial killers as well, right?
Yeah. They have to pretty much be secluded so they don't get murdered in prison either, because they'd get murdered in prison a lot.
I mean, I don't see why this guy would, you know. Seems like a pretty upstanding chap.
He murdered children.
Yeah, they're literally the worst of all humans.
Well, most prison inmates look down upon kitty killers.
I mean, he didn't rape them afterwards. Or before.
You don't fuck with kids, man.
He didn't. He just killed him.
You don't fuck with kids, man.
He didn't fuck with kids. He just killed him.
Either way.
Oh, not fuck literally. Just fuck figuratively.
But in November 2012, Breivik wrote a 27-page letter of complaints to the prison authorities talking about the security restrictions he was being held under, claiming that the prison director personally wanted to punish him. Among his complaints were that his cell was not adequately heated and that he had to wear 3 layers of clothing in order to stay warm.
Why are you saying it in a whiny voice when you literally, like, whined last night when I asked you to not fucking set the AC to, like, 76 fucking degrees while I'm trying to sleep?
Well, because I'm not a prisoner who murdered people.
Okay, but what did you say?
I guess I'll freeze then.
Yeah, so fucking... I mean, I don't want to sympathize with this guy, but...
And what did I do the next day? No, it was that day when you bitched at me for wanting to be warm. I just went out bought myself another blanket.
Fucking easy then, wasn't it?
I guess.
Yeah.
It's money I didn't have to spend.
I mean, you could have just fucking rubbed your hands together like a fucking grown-up.
Anyways, so he's whining about the guards interfering with his strictly planned daily schedule, and his cell was poorly decorated and had no view, and his reading lamp was inadequate, and that guards supervised him while he would brush his teeth and he shaved, and he was put in indirect mental pressure on him to finish quickly by tapping their feet while waiting for him to, you know, brush his teeth and do his hygiene.
Take a poop.
Yeah. He was not having candy and was served cold coffee and was strip searched daily, sometimes by female guards.
Oh no, female guards stripping me off. The horror.
The horror.
Psychiatrist diagnosed Anders with...
It's fucking Anders, man. I mean, it's probably not, actually, but that's how we would say it.
Well, he was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, concluding that he had developed a disorder over time and was psychotic both when he carried out the attacks and during the observation. The psychiatrist consequently found Breivik to be criminally insane.
I mean, this is by Norwegian standards. Usually the worst types of crime they deal with are kids stealing salty licorice from the store.
How wholesome!
Wholesome? Oh, you like saucy licorice now?
No, it's just cute. The starving children who are so poor that they have to steal treats.
So you don't want to chow down on my salty black balls?
No.
You loved it, though. What is it? No, it's just candy.
Yeah, you fucking tricked me, you bastard. He had these little, they looked like little chocolate balls, and they were fucking licorice balls, motherfuck.
I mean, they were... salty balls. They just weren't chocolate salty balls. But you did suck on them.
No, I didn't. I did not!
So, according to the report, Breivik displayed inappropriate behaviours and a severe lack of empathy. He spoke incoherently about his ideology and had acted compulsively based on a universe of bizarre, grandiose and delusional thoughts. Breivik alluded to himself as the future regent of Norway, master of life and death, which he kind of was for a few fleeting hours, while calling himself inordinately loving and Europe's most perfect knight since World War II. He was convinced that he was a warrior in a low-intensity civil war and had been chosen to save his people. Breivik described plans to carry out further executions of categories A, B and C traitors by the thousands, and to organise Norwegians in reservations for the purpose of selective breeding. Breivik believed himself to be the Knight Justiciar Grand Master of Templar organisation. He was deemed to be suicidal and homicidal by the psychiatrists. According to his defence attorney, Breivik initially expressed surprise and felt insulted by the conclusions in the report. This diagnosis was enough to get Anders an insanity plea and sent to a psychiatric hospital instead of prison.
But on June 8th, 2012, Professor of Psychiatry Ulrich Fredrik Malt testified in court as an expert witness, saying that he found it unlikely that Breivik had schizophrenia. According to Malt, Breivik primarily had Asperger's syndrome, Tourette's syndrome, narcissistic personality disorder, and possibly paranoid psychosis.
Like, were the gunshots his tics?
Yes.
Huh.
Malt cited a number of factors in support of his diagnosis, including deviant behavior as a child, extreme specialization in Breivik's study of weapons and bomb technology, strange facial expressions, a remarkable way of talking, and an obsession with numbers. And this diagnosis was the one that was upheld in court because these illnesses are not enough to be declared insane. On August 24th, 2012, Breivik was declared sane and sentenced to containment, a special form of prison sentence that can be extended indefinitely, with an approximate period of 21 years and a minimum time of 10 years, the maximum penalty in Norway.
Wow. Go to Norway if you want to do the murders and get off lightly, Dan jotted down in his notebook.
During the trial, Breivik dished out Nazi salutes to everyone in the courtroom who looked him in the eye. During his testimonies, he declared that he would forever be a Nazi and continue to work for the white power, but that he wanted to do so in a non-violent way going forward.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. Since his imprisonment, he has been isolated from other inmates. Anders' only contact with humans is that with the guards and other prison personnel. His mother was allowed to visit 5 times before she died in 2014, but he has not been allowed any other personal visitations. Except for this one time when they let him play cards with another inmate. This meeting was to be held once a week, but after the 3rd meetup, the other inmate refused to hang out with Breivik again. Maybe it was all the Nazi talk. I don't know.
Maybe.
In March of 2016, Anders tried to sue the Norwegian prison system because he claimed again that he was being treated unfairly. He complained that he was hardly allowed to use his office cell and his workout cell.
Oh, I'm wasting away.
He claimed that he was given extra punishments in the form of grip maneuvers and that he was repeatedly woken up in the middle of the night for cell checks. Yes. Anders, you're in prison. It's not happy fun time.
Maybe the hand grip maneuvers were performed on him by the female guards. Giggity. Seriously, though, those are to decrease blood pressure and to help detect certain heart conditions. So that's weird.
Don't check my blood pressure.
What? Well, no, I would assume that, like, he would get regular medical checks in prison.
Yeah.
Certainly in Norway. And I guess he had high blood pressure and I don't know, I would assume they would just medicate it, but the grip maneuvers are a thing. They will, like, if your blood pressure's super high, you just squeeze your fist and, like just don't squeeze, like, multiple squeezes, you just hold it and squeeze.
I don't think that's what blood. He was talking about.
Well, I googled it and it fucking is, Autumn.
Well, that's, so, is that what he was talking about specifically?
Yeah, where you just have to clench your fist and hold it for as long as you can. I mean, I don't know what else they would be. I'd never heard of it, but Google only had one definition, and I'd be surprised if that wasn't it.
But, I mean, that's just what he said it was. It could have been, like, when they put their arms around your neck and, like, chokehold you. Maybe that's just what he called a chokehold.
Well, I mean, that might be the far more logical explanation.
Yeah, you see the words grip maneuvers? They're in quotations. That means that he actually said those words. Doesn't mean he knew what they meant.
I doubt that he said those words. He probably said something like, hurdy-gurdy, hurdy-shurdy-birdy. Which, roughly translated, is grip maneuvers.
Anders had a lot of other complaints as well. But they were all standard ways to go about running a prison. Especially when you have an inmate like Anders. And it's not like he was being beaten and raped every day.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like he was getting grip maneuvered every day.
His complaints were such as,
they won't let me have a thermos, so I have to drink cold coffee.
Oh no.
The judge did side with Breivik's complaint of having a female officer strip search him. Out of all the complaints.
Yeah, poor bastard. Sounds horrible.
But that was all. The government had to pay his legal expenses for this trial, which equaled to about $40,000. Anders was denied parole in 2021, and again this year in 2022.
Shocking.
So, Autumn has listened to a few podcasts about this dude already, because, you know, we're super original over here. Both of the episodes, from 2 different creators, refused to read any of Anders Breivik's manifesto. So, we're going to go ahead and read you some of this garbage right now.
Yay!
This thing is about 1,500 pages long. It's titled 2083, A European Declaration of Independence. What would your manifesto title be, Daniel?
Ano, the finest frontier.
And that is also very on brand with you, sir. So, most of this manifesto is shit that Anders copied and pasted from other people's works. He admitted to this in the court of law. 90 minutes before he began the attacks, he emailed this document to 1,003 addresses. We couldn't find the whole manifesto, but we did get a good breakdown of it on Reuters.com.
See, now it's funny you call it that, Autumn. It really is, because it's Reuters. I know for a fact that it's Reuters. But during a thing at work the other day, with some announcement of something that my company is doing, they said, oh, it'll be announced on Reuters.com. I'm like, who? Reuters.com. You mean Reuters? No, it's Reuters. It fucking isn't, is it, you fucking American? It's fucking Reuters. Yeah, anyway, so there's that. So let's get into it.
His ideology.
As we all know, the root of Europe's problems is the lack of cultural self-confidence, nationalism. Most people still terrified of nationalistic political doctrines, thinking that if we ever embrace these principles again, new Hitlers will suddenly pop up and initiate global Armageddon. This irrational fear of nationalistic doctrines is preventing us from stopping our own national cultural suicide as the Islamic colonization is increasing annually. You cannot defeat Islamization or halt reverse the Islamic colonization of Western Europe without first removing the political doctrines manifested through multiculturalism, cultural Marxism.
And then he follows that up with...
more terrible Norwegian accent. I don't hate Muslims at all. I acknowledge that there are magnificent Muslim individuals in Europe. In fact, I have had several Muslim friends over the years, some of which I still respect.
That's like a racist saying, I don't hate black people, I have black friends.
This does not mean, however, that I will accept an Islamic presence in Europe. Muslim individuals who do not assimilate 100% within 2020 will be deported as soon as we manage to seize power. I feel like I'm getting better at this. Am I getting better at this?
No.
Oh, fuck.
And this part of his manifesto is his evolution.
Around year 2000, I realized that the democratic struggle against the Islamization of Europe, European multiculturalism, was lost. It had gone too far. 30 years of dialogue with the cultural Marxist multiculturalists had ended up as a disaster. It would now only take 50 to 70 years before we, the Europeans, are in a minority. As soon as I realized this, I decided to explore alternative forms of opposition. Protesting is saying that you disagree. Resistance is saying you will put a stop to this. I decided I wanted to join the resistance movement.
And here are some of his war tactics.
If you are unwilling or incapable of killing women due to the principles of chivalry, you should probably steer away completely from the armed resistance movements and should probably consider creating yet another right-wing blog instead. Hardcore.
What a douchebag. And then there's this.
Do not apologize, make excuses, or express regret, for you are acting in self-defense or in a preemptive manner. Some innocents will die in our operations, and they are simply at the wrong place at the wrong time. Get used to the idea. The needs of the many will always surpass the needs of the few. That is the needs of the few.
You want me to read the last part of his manifesto there?
Oh shit, there's more in quotes here. Yeah, you go for a Swedish accent for us. This bit's all you, baby.
Okay, this is the last bit. I'm gonna do it.
If you for some reason survive the operation, you will be apprehended and arrested. This is the point where most heroic knights would call it a day. However, this is not the case for just a scared knight. Your arrest will mark the initiation of the propaganda phase.
That was surprisingly decent. I mean, you had a very good teacher for the last few minutes, but that was epic. Carry on.
I think this last statement is a reason that a lot of people don't like to read directly from his manifesto. In doing so, you are kind of helping him win. He did not kill himself after his mass murder spree because he wanted to live to tell the tale and continue to spew forth his bullshit. And this is why they don't let him have internet access in prison.
That and the sudden rise in popularity of Hitler porn.
Or visitors, or even send out letters. They are not letting his voice be heard anymore.
Whose voice?
Exactly. But unfortunately, this is not going to stop any of those crazy-ass racists from going full-on murder in the name of hate.
In the name of what?
Hate?
No, no. In the name of what? Wink, wink.
Hate!
Shh. If we don't speak of it, it will go away.
Oh yeah, because that's logic.
So let's go back and just look at some of this, or at least the bit that stuck out to me, which was the name of this manifesto. 2083, a European Declaration of Independence. So, I mean, I've got to ask, is Anders a time traveler?
Yeah, this is super fucking weird. Why 2083? What happens in 2083, Anders?
Well, this, obviously. He just fucking told us. He knows. And maybe that's why he's like appears to have Asperger's and stuff and be a little bit of an oddball. Maybe the fucking time travel just like scrambles your brain.
Or maybe it just makes you weird because you time traveled and you're seeing shit that you never thought you would see in your life.
Or you're seeing shit that you knew had happened already.
Because everything already happened already, unless you change the timeline.
Hmm.
Can we talk about time travel some more?
Oh, God. Oh, God. I've mentioned time travel around autumn. Here we go. This is going to be a trip.
I got nothing.
You've got everything. You have everything about time travel. I mean, tell us about the time travel paradox, Autumn. This should be good.
Which one? Like, the grandfather?
What do you mean, which one? The time travel paradox.
Like, the grandfather paradox?
What? Why are you...
Because I don't know which one you're talking about.
Oh, God. Look, I got her on her fucking hobby horse here, and, like, she's fucking... Now she's sitting there, like, scratching her fucking fingers like Anders Breivik in court. Like, oh God, I don't know what to say. Yeah. Oh, time travel, I love it so much. There's just so much I don't know what to say. What would you like to hear, Daniel?
Okay, so you brought this up. You said, okay, maybe he's a time traveler. Okay, why? If it already happened, but maybe it didn't happen.
To make sure that it happened.
Or maybe it didn't happen in his timeline, so he went back to make sure it did happen, thus changing our timeline that we're in right now.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe the Arabs took over in fucking 2083 and, like, they're all butthurt about it because there's all these brown folks in Europe and, like, they want to put a stop to it. So in 2083, like, maybe...
The Muslims take over?
Yeah, maybe some... What was it? The Muslims? Mm-hmm. So maybe in 2083, like, a Muslim prime minister came to power in Norway or came to power of the whole of the European Union.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, fuck this shit, I'm building a time machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they said he was, like, really good with numbers and all that kind of jazz.
Oh, he was obsessed with numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy shit.
And, like, had a fucking Tourette-style fucking itchy trigger finger. He was the perfect man.
There you have it, folks. Anders Breivik was a time traveler. Is he still alive?
Yes.
So he's just chilling in prison waiting for somebody to zap him out of there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you literally told us in your own fucking script here that he was denied parole again this year.
Oh, yeah.
Keep up, dude, Keep for up. Fuck's sake.
But, so he's just chilling in prison waiting for somebody to zap him back to the future, but they can't because it only goes one way.
It is known.
Yes, it is known.
Time travel only goes one way,
well,
obviously.
I mean, he changed the timeline, so he's in a different timeline from the one he originated from, therefore the people in the future can't bring him back.
Undoubtedly how it works.
I think that's how it works. I think I've watched too much Rick and Morty,
and
honestly.
You are an authority on the fact, after all.
Do you want to talk about any other part of his manifesto here?
We should probably talk about what a fucking weird-looking motherfucker he is.
Oh.
You didn't even, did you? Like, you
I
wrote
did.
All this shit, you didn't even look
I
at a picture of the guy.
I wrote this 2 months ago. Yes, I did look at him.
2 months ago.
Yeah, that was a lot of information has entered my brain since then. Okay.
And there isn't much space, let's be honest.
No.
So you know, it's, you know, with a lot of people it's like one in, one out, but with you it's like one in fucking 25 out.
It's like 50% thinking about time travel all the time, okay?
And yet this is the best you could do. Holy fuck. So we just brought a picture up of him, and yeah, with his blonde curtains, he right off the bat, he just looks like the master race. What's that on his chin? But yeah,
that's
after
hair, man.
After just a moment of looking at him, uh-huh. I was like, I recognize this guy. Who does he look like? And Autumn spat it out. He looks like fucking Mulder, man.
David
he
Duchovny.
Does. David
Strong.
Duchovnik. Duchovny? Duchovnik?
David Duchovnik.
Duchovnik.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Anyway, yeah, that's fucking... So, they look, yeah. You know, he's his own fucking X-File, man. Like, he time-traveled here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. His fucking Mulder's great-great-grandfather. Like, he fucking... Yeah, so Mulder stole all the fucking time-travel files from the X-Files and passed those fucking down the line. And Anders, he got them, and he was like, fuck all these brown people. I'm going back.
Wow.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Wow. Sneaky fucking Mulder bastard.
But, I mean, it didn't really work, though, because Muslim is, like, one of the top five religions in the whole world still.
It's not 2083 yet, Autumn.
I mean, yeah, it is pretty soon to tell, but, I mean...
Well, yeah, it still is now, but that was the point of the manifesto, right? It all goes down in 2083, so... Muslims could well, or Islam could well be the first, the largest religion in the world come that time. In fact, you know what? I kind of think it already
they're
is.
On a, yeah, they're on a strong but path there already.
A strong path there.
Yes.
Go Muslims! Go Muslims! But yeah, I just. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we're going off track a little bit here.
We're going on the religion sucks track again, and we all know that religion sucks. Catholics suck. Christians suck. Fucking all the religions suck. Suck my balls.
Well, yeah, true. But I don't for a moment want anybody to think that we hate on Muslims more than any other religion.
Exactly.
Not for a moment. I mean, they're fine. They're just as cunty as other religions, but we certainly don't think that they're any more cunty.
No.
So, But yeah, so this will probably wind up after the credits, unless you've got anything else intelligent to say, Autumn.
I do not.
Well, there you have it then, folks. That would be episode 2 of season 2 all wrapped up for you. I mean, that was a load of bullshit for the last 8 minutes, so I guess now we've got to think of different bullshit for after the credits, just to keep you all entertained, you sexy bastards.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening.
We appreciate you.
If you like us, you can come support us on Patreon at 7 Circles Pod.
We are an indie podcast, and without your support, we would not be able to do this thing that we love.
Everything was written, produced, edited, and mixed by us, Autumn and Dan.
Thanks to Caroline Gates for the artwork and Null Machine for the music.
If you have anything to say to us about this episode, come say hi to us on the social media.
We are currently on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for 7 Circles Podcast. That's the number 7, not the word. Plus circles like the shapes.
7 and circles.
Oh God, my balls are so sweaty. They're so sticky.
That's... No.
Oh, I smell that.
Oh, fuck off, dude. It's not funny, man.
It's not toe jam. It's just testicle
you
sweat.
You could pretend to do that and people would think it's real.
It's funnier like this though, isn't it?
Stop.
Smell it. Look, it smells like onions. No, that's fuck no.
Would you like a chocolate covered pretzel?
Fuck. My face. No. It's a good job I'm stronger than you. No. Oh, fuck off, man. You need a wash, dude. Holy fuck.
Don't fuck with me.
You bathed like fucking an hour ago. How does your crack smell like that? I won't. It's fucking gross down there.
So yeah, looking at Anders, he does actually also have some kind of Buffalo Bill vibes going on.
The forehead and the hair.
The yeah, you know.
That's
so
it. Maybe the eyes.
Yeah. Well, here it is then.
Bow. 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 Bow, 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 bow.
Goodbye, horses. Bow, bow. I'm flying bow, over you.
Bow, bow, bow,
goodbye,
bow, bow,
horses.
Bow,
I'm flying bow, over you.
Bow, bow.
Goodbye.
Bow. Go get that fucking skin from that girl that we took the other day and wear it, and you'll feel a lot more at home singing this.
Okay, hold on.
Bow bow. Bow bow. Bow bow. Bow 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 bow.
He told me.
Bow bow.
I've seen it all before. I've been there. I've seen my hopes and dreams are lying on the ground. I can't.
Bow bow.
I can't. I feel like
bow,
I'm.
Bow 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 bow.
I'm tainting the memory bow, of this bow. Song. Can't
bow
do
bow.
It.
But you got your skin on and everything. You look great.
Yeah, still just toned for the up record. In the skin.
Yeah, I mean, you were hot anyway, but you're even hotter now.
Still tone deaf.
Maybe I should put it on. I mean, you know, he was trying to look like a lady after
you wanna,
all.
You want to put it on?
Yeah, hold all on. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You do the bow bows this time.
Mm-hmm. Bow, 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 bow. I'm wow. Still tone deaf.
Holy shit! That was just an embarrassment, Autumn. It was fucking rad until then, and you ruined the whole episode.
I'm not a musician, okay?
The musician?
I'm not a musician.
Or a vocalist.
Anything can be an instrument.
Goodbye, horses. I'm flying over you. Goodbye, horses. I'm flying over you. Goodbye, horses. You can't even hold a fucking beat, man.
I know,
oh
I
my
have white
God.
Girl got no
and
rhythm.
Put my fucking hydrocodone down. You're fucking breaking them all.
I have one.
No, fuck off. God damn it, man. That's not how this works. They're from a spine. Good grief. I must disagree. Oh no, sir. I must say you're wrong. Won't you listen to me? Goodbye, horses.
I'm flying over you.
Goodbye, horses.
I'm flying over you.
I'm gonna put it in your poo. Goodbye, horses. Is this shit? Psychos, hit the stop button now, you fucking weirdos, you sexy bastards. Goodbye, horses.
Goodbye, horses.